Broderick Baggert, who is the lead organizer of Together Baton Rouge. And Broderick Baggert, were you surprised at Senator McCain's vote?
Oh, Jim, this is exactly the way we wrote it up. It was just satisfying to see a calculated plan play out just the way we predicted. No, I don't think there's a person in the country, potentially including John McCain, who knew exactly what was going to play out. It looked as though they had the votes. Mitch McConnell clearly thought they had the votes. You don't bring the vice president down to the Capitol at 1 o'clock in the morning to cast a tie-breaking vote if you don't think you have the votes. And then it turned out they did not. So I don't know if there was any predicting the final outcome, although some of the elements of what went into the final outcome were things that the Senate and everybody has been grappling with over several months.
Now, President Trump was quick to blame the three Republicans for joining 48 Democrats and voting no, and as a result, the Affordable Care Act remains the law of the land. The people who are supportive of the Affordable Care Act said the bill would have left 16 million more people uninsured by 2026, and this is the so-called skinny plan. What would the skinny repeal have done in the immediate future, Broderick?
Well, I'd like to lift up something that I don't think has been discussed as much, which is how radically different the skinny bill that was rejected last night was from the Senate bill that was introduced 3 weeks ago and from the House version of the bill. A mass movement across this entire country driven by ordinary citizens and not by the Democratic partisan operation completely changed this debate. The what was on the table from the House and what was originally introduced in the Senate as Mitch McConnell's attempt to thread the needle between the moderate and conservative forces in his own party was a bill that would have massive cuts to Medicaid, $789 million in cuts to Medicaid, would take the funds saved by those cuts and use them to cut taxes for the wealthiest individuals in our society on dividend and in income, on investments, on medical devices, on insurance companies. That was the bill. There was a movement across the country that kept senators like Collins and Murkowski in the no camp, that forced senators like Portman and Dean Heller in Nevada to draw a line and say, we cannot support any Medicaid cuts. And Senator Cassidy played a subsidiary role, one that ultimately he didn't take to fruition and really have the fortitude to make the most of. What ended up being voted on as the best way to try to find that middle ground was a totally different bill that made no cuts to Medicaid, didn't eliminate any of the taxes. It basically would eliminate the mandate that you buy health insurance. And that's a big problem, because if you eliminate that mandate, then people who are healthier will opt out of the health insurance market, and that'll drive up premiums. So the result would have been 16 million people who lost their health insurance,
right,
mostly because they chose not to, and prices would have gone up by 20% for all Americans. That's a horrible bill, but it is a far cry from what would have been voted on had there not been this mass movement. So, you know, if you want to cast blame, I would say credit. It would go to all the people who organized and stood up and went to town halls and talked to their senators and showed it was not tenable to cut 25 million Americans off of health insurance just to give a tax cut to the top 1%. And that's a pretty unprecedented thing, we think.
All right. Well, a listener notes that if this had gotten to a conference committee, though, it could have been a much different bill, because that's what conference committees do. They, when the House and the Senate concur, they sometimes add stuff or subtract. And in this case, there was a fear that much would have been added, the exact things that you're talking about that you were pleased were not in the skinny bill. But nonetheless, it was defeated. Before the vote last night, we had a chance to catch up with Congressman Ralph Abraham, a doctor from the northern part of our state. He's in from Mangum, Louisiana, a veterinarian, too, a really bright guy, but a staunch Republican and a believer that Obamacare should be excised from the fabric of the country. Well, here was Congressman Abraham before last night's dramatic vote.
The issue, and, you know, I won't beat up the insurance industry too bad, but when you look at the small writing in Obamacare, and if you look at the money that has been transferred to private insurance companies and to hospitals under Obamacare, it's it's astronomical. So from their perspective, they probably don't want to see Obamacare go away because, they are reaping the benefits of it. But I go back to my patient in good old Louisiana, whose premiums have gone up over the last 4 years, over 100%, where you have a deductible that's $6,000 to $8,000 and your premium is $800 a month. So you really don't have insurance under Obamacare. You are self-insured for the first $20,000 to $25,000. So look, if I understand the big insurance companies, look at what they've made on Obamacare, and you could probably see why they have a particular stand on this issue.
All right. Do you think he has a point, Broderick Baggert?
So what was so fascinating about the last month was that a party that has been an opposition party and had the luxury of taking simple positions as though it's a simple issue was forced to really grapple with the complexities of a very complex reality, which is healthcare policy in this country, right? You can imagine a fantasy world where everyone makes enough money to buy private health insurance and the world is beautiful without any problems. Well, we live in a world where there are people who are unemployed and who are poor and who make under minimum wage. And
Phil in Jefferson Terrace, good morning to you, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. I would think that looking at what would have happened if Hillary Clinton was president right now and had come up to try to improve or keep the Affordable Care Act and all the obstructionism that was going on when Obama was president. It's kind of ironic that right now, with Trump the president and the Republicans having the Senate and the House, it's like everybody stood up to the McConnell power play and said, no, you can't do this. This is not the way that legislation is done. And I would hope that now our senators and representatives will listen to us and say, we need a good working health care system.
All right. Broderick, your response to Phil in Jefferson Terrace.
I think that was ultimately the outcome. How close the result was is what makes it such a concern. The line that Mitch McConnell sold to Lindsey Graham was that everything would be changed in the conference committee. Really, the way the bill was drafted was as a bill that could get through the House as is, and whether they went to conference committee or not, the sort of contradictions internal to the bill were inherent. There wasn't something that more time would fix. So, without just those three senators making that decision to buck their own party and as we see it, really vote on the side of what's practical, it could have been a very, very troubling result. So we're grateful for that.
877-217-5757 for Broderick Baggert. At one point before the final vote, President Trump called Vice President Pence, who handed the phone to John McCain. The call was just off the Senate floor, witnessed by CNN. Brief and it was ultimately unsuccessful because McCain came in with thumbs down, and John McCain, who is a brave man, as we know, Broderick Baggert, despite what the president said about him on the campaign trail, he certainly surprised a lot of people last night. It was a vote for him that probably was a very difficult one.
Well, I think it was, and I'm it speaks to those small and tangible things that can change history. I don't think it helped that then candidate Donald Trump said about John McCain that he was not a real American hero because American heroes don't get shot down. I don't think it was wise for the president to threaten Lisa Murkowski with cuts from the Interior Department to Alaska when she is the chair of the committee that oversees the Interior Department. It shows the limits of a kind of unilateral politics, and that there are some people who still have the fortitude to withstand that. This has not been the consistent track record of John McCain, even up until 3 days ago when he said he was against the Senate bill in its then form and he could never vote for it. And a few hours later, he voted for it. So exactly what mix led to this result, but it did seem that whether it was the betrayal of the norms of how the Senate operates or just understanding the historic and troubling practical repercussions of this, he ended up taking a principled position that we think is going to solidify his legacy in a way that it wouldn't if he had voted the other way.
Here's a question from Kristen, more of a comment in South Downs, saying that, it is a question. Are you more pleased with Senator Kennedy, who said he was going to vote the way he did from the start and voted exactly as the way he forecast, or Senator Cassidy, who flirted and teased, I'm using her words, teased the Louisiana electorate and then voted with his Republican cohorts?
Well, it's a strange thing that you assign more ethical responsibility to people who fully understand the implications of their actions. And Senator Cassidy showed, because he was trying to create space for his bill, that he understood fully the implications of the cuts to Medicaid, health policy, and that meant that he, I think, appropriately took more of the brunt of kind of ethical responsibility for going back on that. At the end of the day, that's better than somebody who showed no public understanding of the implications of his actions and was a very junior senator. You can understand the pressures of him coming right off an election and then casting a definitive vote against his party. But I'd say we were more pleased with Senator Cassidy, limited as that may be. His frank and clear expression of concerns about the effects of the bill, even if he didn't act on them ultimately, helped in a small way to create the atmosphere that made it clear that the Medicaid cuts for tax cuts swap was not tenable. And if he had stuck by his guns, he probably could have, this is the ironic part, if the Senator Cassidy had stuck by his guns and done what Dean Heller did and said, you're not getting my vote unless. Every senator is a complete kingmaker in this situation because they determine the outcome. Then he likely would have pulled Gail Collins over, who, by the way, co-sponsored his bill, and they could have had something that passed. I don't know whether that would be a better outcome or a worse outcome in terms of policy, but it does show that it's not always the best outcome, even for your own personal self-interest or political self-interest, to fold. Foldy did at the end, but before doing so, he made a contribution that was rare in a red state. All the rest of these folks are in purple states, blue states, who were expressing concerns. And so, we think there's still something to say for Senator Cassidy's willingness to do that.
But when he beat Mary Landrieu in 2014, his major issue, in fact, his singular issue, was getting rid of Obamacare. And he had the chance last night to vote, and he voted to get rid of Obamacare. And I don't think anybody should be surprised by that, nor do I think anybody should be surprised that until further notice, Senators Cassidy and Kennedy will be voting right down the line with President Trump, who carried Louisiana by 398,000 votes. He's not going to buck the President of the United States, it seems, Broderick Baggert.
Well, there are a million different ways to get rid of Obamacare, or at least five that were in play. You can get rid of it entirely and let the health insurance markets tank. You can get rid of it by putting an $800 million health care cut on the backs of the poor and trade it for a tax cut. Or you can get rid of it in the way that Senator Cassidy publicly expressed his preference for, which was to take all the funds that were going to Obamacare, block grant them to the states, transform Medicaid. And that was his preference. I'll be frank with you, it's not my preference or our preference. We think there would be significant problems with that. But that is what he was in a position to demand as a result of being the deciding vote. And if he had stood by that, he would have pulled Gail Collins over into the yes camp. And then they've got a margin that could even withstand a McCain bucking of it. So it was his unwillingness to buck party that ultimately we think worked against his self-interest. Now, I'm not going to pretend like I'm disappointed in that. You know, we think this outcome is better than that. Even though this outcome is not perfect, there are still problems with this bill. There are still concerns about the private insurance market, although not as drastic as they've been in previous years and not as drastic as they've been described. But right. It's not as though this bill is perfect.
Final call for Broderick Baggert of Together Baton Rouge, and then Marjorie Esmond will be with us to talk about the president's transgender policy for the military. Richard in Lafayette. Hi, Richard. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, I'd like to say that, you know, Cassidy may have run on repealing Obamacare, but the public has become a lot more educated on the on Obamacare since then, since 86% of his constituents don't agree with his vote, and yet he claims that he votes what his constituents want, but the statistics just simply don't show it. Why don't these people vote what their constituents want instead of what they want? That's what I got. That's it.
All right, and Senator Cassidy will be up for re-election in 2020. I would imagine this will be an issue, and some people will be applauding him, and some will be condemning him, but we'll see what happens. Broderick, he perhaps has more knowledge about health care than any member of the United States Senate, and he did offer a lot of ideas, but ultimately he voted with his Republican brothers and sisters right down the line.
And ultimately, we were disappointed and not at all surprised in that. And ultimately, the way things turn out is complicated and not what you want. And ultimately, he played a surprisingly productive role in this debate. There will be people who don't like me saying that. There will be people who think that we ought to be more forthright in our praise or our condemnation of him. But he was willing to get out of line and say there are concerns here. And that's the part of the political process that starts to get to reality, right? When people just pretend as though everything is crystal clear, and if you're on one side or another, that they try to reduce the complexity of it, that he was willing to start to grapple with that. If he had acted on it further, it would have been better, but ultimately he helped to contribute to the discussion.
Thank you, Broderick Baggert. Good to hear from you, and we'll certainly be talking again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.